I kept the Feast of Trumpets. It was our first holy day. It was with my parents in 1958, and I was only 9 years old at the time. It was our first holy day in the church, and my mom told me, as she had been Jewish, she told me that when we go, we can expect to hear trumpets during the services. And so I was really looking forward to that, you know, a nine-year-old kid looking forward to hearing all these different trumpets. Well, after two long sermons in the whole day, there were no trumpets that were sounded. Of course, how could that be? This was the Feast of Trumpets. There should have been trumpets sounding. Let's look at Numbers 10 and verse 10. Numbers 10 and verse 10. We see a couple of things here. Also, in the day of your great gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, which today is the beginning of the seventh month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and there'll be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So here was a day of gladness and an appointed feast. Leviticus calls this a day of memorial of blowing of trumpets. So the wordage here is similar to what we find here in Numbers. A memorial is a reminder. It's a memento. And here the trumpets were blown over burnt offerings and over sacrifices. The point is, there are no burnt offerings today. There are no sacrifices of animals today. And the tabernacle and the temple services and oblations are no longer required or necessary, because that's all been overshadowed by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Therefore, the trumpets are no longer ceremonially sounded today as they were in the past, because there are no sacrifices. The temple is not here. And there's another factor in verse 8. In verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So it was the sons of Aaron, the priests, who were to do the blowing of trumpets, and today we don't know who those people are. Maybe that's why somebody couldn't blow a trumpet very well. Won't say any names, but I'm just kidding on that aspect. But the ministry is not the Levitical priesthood. We are all, now under the terms of the new covenant. Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so the Levitical priesthood will once again come into being when they are all purified during the time of the millennium, when sacrifices will once occur during the time of the millennium. Now, we may occasionally hear some trumpets before services or during special music, but they're not the type of sounds that were heard and ceremonially done during that time in the past. But there's still a unique trumpet sound that does come forth on this day, and we may not have thought about it. And it's over here in Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. So the voice was to be lifted up as a trumpet. The purpose was to warn national Israel and God's people of sin. So we repent of sin. The words of warning are likened to a trumpet sound. And so we will hear words, as we already heard in the sermonette. We will hear the words in the sermon this morning, and also in the sermonette and sermon in the afternoon, about what this day means and the picture of this day and what we need to do in our own lives to make sure that we're obeying God and following God. So this is the day of trumpets, and it is a memorial of trumpets. And so we need to see what God wants us to consider. as we read or we hear the words from the Bible of what the Bible predicts for the future. And it's to be a warning to all of us in the church, in the nation, national Israel, actually for the world. And so the title of the sermon is The Trumpet of Warning. The Trumpet of Warning. Let's go to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Psalm 81, and Jewish tradition states that this psalm was connected to the harvest festival, which was tabernacles in the seventh month. But notice how it starts in verse 1. Sing aloud to the Lord our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. And we know, again, that this is the first of Tishri, the new moon of the seventh month. At the full moon, that would be the time the Feast of Tabernacles begins, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute in, for Israel and a law for the God of Jacob. So these keeping of these days is a law that we continue to keep today. Now notice verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you. So we need to listen to God, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. So again, a warning from God to remove gods and to listen to him. Verse 11, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Oh, if my people would just do this to please seek God. And that's God's desires. He does not want Israel or anybody to suffer, but he wants to help them. But we all have to obey. So here's a warning from God during trumpets. And that's to change, to repent, to draw near to God. Notice this prophecy over here in Hosea 5 and verse 3. Hosea 5 and in verse 3. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry, and Israel is defiled. And we know the descendants of ancient Israel are found predominantly in Britain and America. We understand that. For now, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. The spirit of harlotry is in their midst. They do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. So you see again that verse 6, with their flocks and herds, they go seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord. They have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. A new moon. Now we know that, again, Feast of Trumpets is on the new moon. And it's this day that pictures a time of intervention by God in worldly affairs. And we see in verse 8, blow the ram's horn in Gibeon, the trumpet in Ramah, cry aloud at Beth Avon, look behind you, O Benjamin, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I will make known what is sure. This will be a time of Jacob's trouble. And then, after this, great calamity will affect the earth. And God is going to intervene. The great day of God will come. And we find this in Joel. Joel 2 and verse 1. Joel 2 and verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is at hand. It's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. The people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever be such after them, even after many successive generations. It's an alarm, a time of great world conflict and war, a time of trouble. A trumpet will sound forth in verse 10. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon will grow dark, the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can endure it? It's a question. Who can endure it? Verse 12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Who knows? If you repent, God is saying he could relent about what he is about to bring on the earth during the time of the day of the Lord. So God will be merciful to those who repent and change their ways, but we know, as we'll see, many won't do that. And of course, Israel and the whole world is going to suffer. When do the trumpets occur? We read about trumpets occurring in the Bible. When do they happen? The answer is over here in Revelation 8. Revelation 8. And notice the timing of this. Revelation 8 and verse 1. And he opened the seventh seal. All right. There are six seals before the seventh. The seventh seal is opened. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. It's a very important note here. It's during the time of the seventh seal. The trumpets will usher in the return of Jesus Christ. And these trumpets will not be sounded by humans. They will be sounded by angels. And there will be seven of them that will be heard and noted. Remember when this takes place. It's at the seventh seal, which means six have already passed, which means the four horsemen, first, second, third, and fourth seal had already occurred. The fifth seal will be the tribulation. That's the fifth seal, will have already occurred. The heavenly signs, the sixth seal, will have already occurred before even one of the trumpets sounds. That's the context. That's where we are. And what the day of the Lord is picturing here, the seventh seal, and in that seventh seal are these seven trumpets. This is after the tribulation. This is after Jacob's trouble. This is after the heavenly signs. Trumpets don't sound then, or even before. We do see, though, the beginning of sorrows, and we do see the horsemen, as they are the four seals and the other horrible things that will take place on the earth. This is also after the sealing of the people of God. Before anything happens, before the trumpets sound, the people of God who have the Holy Spirit are sealed and they are protected from these trumpets. So, let's take a little bit of time to review what's going to happen with these trumpets and what occurs. The first one is in verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So here's the first trumpet. This is the beginning of the seventh seal. The first angel sounds, and this raging fire comes down out of heaven. It's worse than any forest fire we've ever seen. One third of the trees are burned up. The grass is destroyed. Think how that will affect oxygen levels on the earth. First, there's the smoke. And then there's the lack of a third of the trees to filter out carbon dioxide. When we were in Rockland for the feast, California, a couple years ago, it was just after a forest fire had devastated some areas north of Yosemite. And the smell of smoke was still in the air a month or so after those forest fires had gone through there. And there were still fire people out on these hillsides putting out some of the little fires that were still smoldering. And there was smoke in the air for that whole time. And hillsides were charred, trees were gone or blackened, and it was just in one little area. This fire goes out into all the earth. That's the first one. All right, verse 8 is the second trumpet, and a second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Now this is like a mountain on fire. Now again, John is describing something that he is seeing, and the sea becomes like blood. A third of the life dies in the oceans. But can you imagine the devastation of what will happen when this occurs in the seas and the possible tsunamis that will occur? The smell all around the shores of dead sea animals, sea creatures. What else will wash up on the shore? If you've got a third of the ships being destroyed, what about their contents? What about any oil in those affected tankers? This is going to be a worldwide cataclysm in the seas. Now, in verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. So here you have a great star falling on a third of the fresh waters and springs. And it's called Wormwood. This star is called Wormwood. Now we know that God knows all the names of the stars. Is this it could be a literal star here that falls on a third of the rivers. Somehow it comes out of orbit, if that's what this is, and no laser beams and no nuclear device on some asteroid is going to blow this thing out of its orbit. It's coming, and it will come. Think of what happens if it falls into the Great Lakes, the largest body of fresh water in the world. How will it affect all the rivers that come out of the Great Lakes? says that we read that many men died because the water was bitter. That's one third of the fresh water supplies on the earth will be affected. Thirst is going to be a real issue for billions of people. All right, verse 12. It's the fourth one. The fourth angel sounded. A third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So somehow the sun is either going to be damaged by, I don't know, something hitting it. We don't know. It just says it'll be destroyed, as well as a third of the moon, a third of the stars. Somehow it'll be affected. The light will be affected. And it'll be darkened, as we read earlier in Joel. It's got to affect the tides of the ocean, something happening to the moon. The light of the sun will be diminished. What about all those who are relying on solar power? It's going to be a time of gloominess, because it's not going to be the great brightness that we have today. And it's going to be depressing for a lot of humanity. You know, we don't often read these things because they are depressing. You know, we don't even want to think about these things happening, but this is what will happen. This is what these trumpets initiate. Now, have you noticed something here in all four of these first ones? A third in each group is affected. Remember, it was Satan who took a third of the angels away from God, and yet two-thirds of the angels remained loyal. And here you have a third of the trees, a third of the seas, a third of the springs of water, and a third of the sun and the moon and the stars all being affected. We come into something different now in verse 13. The following three angels, there when they blast their trumpets, they are called woes. Verse 13. The sixth angel sounded. Because it says in verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. But they come next. All right. As it says in verse 13, they are called woes. Verse 12 and verse 13 are called woes. And these woes, these trumpets, these next three affect men. The others basically affected the earth, you know, and physical things on the earth. These now affect men. Now let's look at Revelation 9, verse 1 and 2. Revelation 9, verse 1 and 2. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now here it seems like this star, referring to he, is some type of spirit that comes down. He opens the bottomless pit. Smoke comes out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So some type of evil is going to unlock the bottomless pit. Who's in the bottomless pit? A huge volcano type of happening occurring. Smoke blocks out the remaining light of the sun, as it says, so that the sun, the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3 and 4, and we'll just read it here. Out of the smoke, locusts come upon the earth. This is out of the smoke. To them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And so you have what's called locusts, but they have power as scorpions. And in verse 4, they're commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, that's the grass that was not burned up, or any green thing or any tree, those are the trees that were not destroyed earlier, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So the only ones protected are those who have God's seal of his Holy Spirit, and they were not given authority to kill them, but rather to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So these bites don't kill, but it will be some type of infection, and it lasts 5 months of those who are not sealed by God. If you go to the Mayo Clinic website and you look up scorpion stings, it will tell you that scorpion stings are not deadly. Very few people die of scorpion stings, but their symptoms include intense pain, numbness and tingling around the area of the sting, and a slight swelling in the area. And then more severe signs, muscle twitching, thrashing, unusual head, neck, and eye movements, accelerated heart rates, irregular heartbeats, high and low blood pressure can happen from this. It's going to be like a torment for 5 months. And it will say, and it says here in verse 6, that men will seek death and they won't find it. They'll desire to die and death will flee from them, because they're still going to be alive with all this occurring to them. Now, John could only describe the locusts in his terminology, and we see that beginning in verse 7. And he goes through and talks all about it here, but let's look at verse 9. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails. The power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes come after these things. So here you have a king over them. You know, when locusts swarm, they have no king. They just swarm. Here's what's labeled as a type of locust, but it has a king over them. This king, Apollyon, in the it basically means destroyer. And we all know who the destroyer is. The other thing is that locusts have no stings in their tails. These particular creatures, whatever they are, do. So I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. And you read some of the description that John's writing here, and it's hard to know what he's actually referring to. So there's a lot of unknowns, and yet we see what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, the sixth trumpet is in verse 13. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." There are four angels that are bound at the great river Euphrates, according to what Revelation is telling us. Release them. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and year. Whenever this takes place, this has all been planned by God for the exact hour, day, month, and year. They were to be released. And what do these four angels do? They kill a third of mankind. These four angels that are released, they kill a third of mankind. It's like 2.5 billion people. How do they do it? The number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And it goes on to say, I saw the horses in vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, fire, smoke, and brimstone, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. This is an amazing section of scripture here that we're reading. This is the sixth trumpet. A third of the people are killed with what happens after these angels are released out of the Euphrates River. So, what happens after the sixth angel sounds? Verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, which they will be doing, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. After all this, after six plagues, trumpet plagues, it's the beginning of the day of the Lord. Christ hasn't yet returned. Seventh angel has not yet sounded. And these people, you would think, with all this is going on, I need to repent and get back to God. But we see they did not. So there are a number of things that will occur as we read in chapters 10 and 11, which we won't go there now. But we come to the seventh trumpet. Notice Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time of the dead, that they should be judged. And the phrase there, dead, should read nations. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So here we find at the seventh trump, Jesus Christ intervenes. He returns. The saints are resurrected. The millennium begins. God will have called for repentance. He will have called for change. And finally, at this seventh trump, he sends Jesus Christ back. And more will take place. And I'm sure we'll probably hear more of that later this afternoon. Let's go to Psalm 47. Let's look at some ancient prophecies here that were found back in the Psalms. Psalm 47, actually this particular psalm is read today in Jewish synagogues all over the world. They read this psalm before they sound their trumpet. They do sound the trumpet. But do you realize that today 70% of the Jews in Europe are not attending synagogue? I don't know if you saw this in the news. They are afraid of terrorist attacks, so they're staying at home. 70%. of the Jewish European Jews today, and even in France, a number of Jews are wanting to leave and go back to Israel, or at least travel to Israel. There's a lot of fear, anti-Semitism today, and it'll, of course, get worse. But this psalm here dwells on God's universal sovereignty. But this is what takes place when Jesus Christ returns. After all this mayhem and after all this confusion and chaos, we find what will take place. And we see this, Psalm 47, "O clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us, and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, and the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves." Selah. So we stop and think. What did we just hear? We see that the Lord Most High is awesome. He'll be king. He'll subdue peoples under himself. Verse 5, "God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is king over the earth. Sing praises with understanding." And see, this is what the Jewish people read and look at as what they look forward to. The coming of the Messiah. God reigns over the nations. He sits on his throne. Princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. These are words we've just read. These are words we've just heard. It's as if there's a sound of the trumpet telling us what will take place when Jesus Christ returns and establishes himself on the earth, a time of great rejoicing, a time of great peace, eventually, after all the turmoil that will occur. Christ will rule, and this is the crux of the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom of God, the crux of the gospel message. Let's look at another psalm, Psalm 98. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Psalm 98, verse 1. Now, when you read the introduction to this psalm in the Sansino commentary, it comments that this psalm shows that all nature is summoned to join in the acclamation of the Supreme King. So all nature is summoned to acclaim the great king for his redemption of Israel from captivity. And so with that context, we read, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. He's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory." We even sing this as one of our hymns. "The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. He's remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all you earth. Bring forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp of the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. The sea roar in its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. The rivers clap their hands and the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he'll judge the world and with peoples and the peoples with equity." And we know that the whole creation suffers and mourns until the time of the revealing of the sons of God. We know the whole creation is going to be renewed. A wonderful time after Jesus Christ returns. And that's one of the greatest blessings we can understand. That when Jesus Christ does return, there's going to be a lot of difficulty at first, that's for sure. And a lot of fighting against him. But once he establishes himself and begins to begin his reign, eventually, we are going to see a world like we've never seen, a world where everyone will be able to rejoice. Let's look at two more places in Isaiah that discuss this event. Let's look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27, verse 12. Isaiah 27, verse 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it will be in that day the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. When that great trumpet, the seventh trumpet, sounds, it's the beginning of the return of Jesus Christ. And at that great trumpet, all those of Israel who've been in captivity will begin to march toward Jerusalem. And as we heard the other day, the time of the great second exodus, which will be an astounding movement of more peoples than has ever happened on the earth before. And the Lord will be worshipped. Psalm 52. Let's look at Isaiah 52. And let's look at verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices, and with their voices they shall sing together, for they will see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. So the emphasis is on the message. Glad tidings of good things. Watchmen lifting up their voices and praising God when God brings all back to Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, O you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm. The eyes of all the nations and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. All the ends of our earth, of the earth, will see the salvation of our God. And that's why we rejoice today. I know it's a day of clouds and gloominess, as we see in some of these earlier prophecies, but it's also a day in which we can rejoice, because all the earth will rejoice when they see the salvation of God. Finally, then, notice what Israel will do when they come out of the land. Verse 11, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. So you don't have to go out with haste or flight as you did during the time of Egypt, but you go out and God will be your guard. Behold, my servant will deal prudently, and he will be exalted, extolled, and be very high. So we find it's going to be a glorious coming out. And God will go before them and protect them before and behind. God will watch over them and God will reign. And the prudent will even be exalted. So I know this is just a summary of what this day pictures. But it gives us a pretty good idea what God has in store, and it will occur. So what we've heard and what we've seen in the Bible, more particularly what we've seen in the Bible, is what will take place during the time these seven trumpets sound. It's both a warning And finally, the great event we all look forward to, and that's the return of Christ, the resurrection of the saints, and the beginning of the rule of God, of the kingdom on the earth.